You're listening to
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is White Alliance USA. Pastor Eli James, your host. Let's have a little intro music. Indeed, Big Brother is watching you. Of course, Big Brother is global Zionism. No doubt about that. And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, White Alliance USA, Pastor Eli James, your host. And today's subject is the absolute failure of racial integration, part two. We're going to focus on LBJ. Lying Butcher Johnson. That's the name I've been calling him ever since I was in Vietnam. Lying Butcher Johnson. The mad Zionist, mad communist, Jew puppet, total Jew puppet in the White House, who was in on the assassination of JFK and promoted the Zionist communist agenda from the moment that JFK was assassinated. The very first thing that LBJ did, Lying Butcher Johnson did, was to rescind Kennedy's executive order 1110, which had introduced real money, that is gold and silver backed treasury notes, in competition to the Federal Reserve Bank's Federal Reserve notes. And that's the main reason why the Jews assassinated Kennedy. And, you know, there were other reasons besides that, but that was the main one, because they needed to get rid of Executive Order 1110. Otherwise, the Federal Reserve Bank would have gone out of business. It could not have competed against a federally or nationally instituted or distributed currency, which would have been constitutional, and would have gained the Federal Reserve Bank zero interest and would have reduced its income due to the fact that the Federal Reserve note is loaned into circulation. It's loaned to the government, and the government pays the Federal Reserve Bank interest on this currency that's loaned into circulation. So the primary reason for the assassination of JFK was his executive order 1110. I'm going to quote from an article from waltercoffee.com. and the Great Society That Wasn't. In a campaign speech at the University of Michigan in May 1964, President Lyndon B. Johnson railed against poverty in America. The U.S. was already a rich society, he said, and now it had the chance to move upward to the Great Society, in other words, to become a communist country. We had the opportunity to give black people the vote. We had the opportunity to import illegal aliens and let them vote. This is what Johnson meant by the so-called Great Society, the disempowerment and disenfranchisement of white people. That's what the Great Society was really all about. And of course, that's what the Johnson administration started. And it was during this awful time of Lyndon Baines Johnson, who was a total hypocrite, total Zionist stooge, during these days of LBJ, our country went down very, very fast, very, very fast. Very little we can do about it now, of course. However, we do need to understand what LBJ did, who he was, whose puppet he was, and why the world is in such sad shape, really sad shape. I'm going to see if I can take calls today. I have to minimize my screen here 1 second. The call-in number is 951-729-8933. 951-729-8933. And I'll keep the Blog Talk Radio window open while I'm reading from this document, The Great Society That Wasn't. Johnson's Great Society domestic program promised to end poverty and provide equality for all Americans. But Johnson's program only created a massive welfare state that has further divided the nation and helped sink America into nearly insurmountable debt. Of course, that was the purpose of the Great Society. It was to destroy the white middle class. An overwhelming majority elected Johnson president in 1964, and he saw this as a mandate to push his ambitious domestic agenda through Congress. And of course, the first thing that Johnson did after he assassinated Kennedy was to push the Vietnam War, to escalate the war, and to institute the communist agenda of his lords and masters, the Jews. And with a Congress dominated by like-minded progressive Democrats, Johnson had little trouble persuading its members to approve his initiatives. Of course, Johnson was nothing but a Zionist communist who did everything the Jews wanted him to do. An unprecedented number of bills became law that allocated taxpayer money for pork barrel projects, education improvement, mass transit expansion, anti-poverty measures, and civil rights protections. In other words, LBJ was a carbon copy of FDR, a Zionist communist totally beholden to the Jewish power structure. Referring to the recent death of President John F. Kennedy, Johnson explained that he and his fellow Democrats were simply continuing what Kennedy would have wanted. Wait a minute. I never heard Kennedy talking about a so-called Great Society. I never heard Kennedy talking about expanding the size of government and creating all these government programs. That's a lie. And Johnson's notorious ability to pressure and bully congressmen into supporting him made his agenda nearly unstoppable. He had already established this bullying tactic while he was vice president, and even while he was senator from Texas, where he was also in charge of the Senate Appropriations Committee and was able to dole out money to corporate contractors. So he began the policy of forcing corporations to kowtow to federal integration, racial integration programs, because he could tell a corporation, if you don't go along with this integration program, you won't get any government contracts. That's simply the power that that LBJ had. Again, very similar to the power that FDR had. And of course, FDR, his administration was just riddled with communists and Zionists, otherwise known as Jews, totally riddled with Jews. Very powerful internationalist, highly, very wealthy bankster, and very much socialistic communist Jews, such as, well, Samuel Untermeyer wasn't a member of the cabinet. However, Felix Frankfurter, and I'm trying to think of some of the others who were involved with LBJ and FDR. Again, we're talking about total Zionist puppets. Bernard Baruch would be another name, totally associated with FDR, and still around in the 1950s after federal dictator Roosevelt passed away. So we're seeing in America, as a result of the creation of the Federal Reserve Act, the beginning of total Jewish domination of politics in America, not as elected officials, but as advisors to FDR and LBJ, and certainly to Eisenhower and Truman. Not so much Kennedy, who was a Catholic. And Kennedy's father, Joe Kennedy, by the time that JFK became president, Joseph Kennedy had rebelled against the Zionists that he had been working with through World War I and World War II. Joseph Kennedy had made his fortune as a member of Murder Incorporated, with being in business with Jewish gangsters. Joe Kennedy actually was the delivery man. He would deliver the booze to the speakeasies, and that's how he made his money. And so he is early on connected with Jewish gangsters. But as time progressed, as World War II progressed, and he saw the tremendous amount of damage that World War II was doing to whites in Europe, he began to realize the threat that Jewry was to the white race, and he turned against the Jews. And he certainly advised his sons, JFK and RFK, about the danger the Jews presented to the white race and to America. However, by the time Ted Kennedy saw that his two brothers were assassinated by the Jews, Ted Kennedy got wise and he began cooperating with the Jews. He didn't want to die like his brothers did. So, and Johnson's notorious ability to pressure and bully congressmen into supporting him made his agenda nearly unstoppable. That is absolutely true. Having lived in poverty as a child, Johnson sought to use government power to end it once and for all. That is poverty or freedom. But Johnson, a career politician with no free market experience, failed to recognize that a government relying on taxpayers for sustenance can neither create wealth nor end poverty. Obviously, LBJ knew this. As a stooge for the Zionists, he was simply doing their bidding. And he was anti-white and anti-middle class and anti-constitution. There's no doubt about this. This author is giving him way too much credit. Consequently, his domestic program was a costly failure. Yes, it was a total failure. The absolute failure of racial integration, part two, which was part of, course, Johnson's agenda. Racial integration, part of the Jewish agenda. Racial integration. The war on poverty is the next heading. As part of his great society, President Johnson declared a war on poverty that included creating a new bureaucracy called the Office of Economic Opportunity, which is nothing more than black empowerment, and funneling millions of dollars into a multitude of welfare programs. Unfortunately, these programs had the opposite effect that was intended. Oh, surprise, surprise. They kept many people poor who could have otherwise worked their way out of poverty without government help. Well, see, that's the whole purpose of government, is to keep the rich rich and the poor poor, while promising the poor all kinds of stupid programs. And, of course, the programs are created, but they never get the poor out of poverty. They simply maintain the status quo by failing to deliver on the promises. The amount of taxpayer money spent on welfare programs and aid to individuals between 1965 and 1970 was the largest transfer of wealth in history, but it had no appreciable effect, as the poverty rate did not decrease as intended. Surprise, surprise. You actually believed the welfare rhetoric of LBJ and the Jews behind him? This was a staggering and enormously expensive failure that bore terrible consequences. And that is an absolutely true statement. Let me repeat that again, because you need to ingrain this statement in your mind. This was a staggering and enormously expensive failure that bore terrible consequences. Programs that had been created to help widows were expanded to pay single mothers not to work. This not only encouraged people not to seek employment, but it led to an explosion of out-of-wedlock births. The black community was especially devastated by these programs. In 1950, 78% of black families consisted of a husband and a wife in a traditional marriage. By 1979, the number of traditional black families had dropped to 59%. Black poor in single female households had risen over 100%. Oh, you actually believed the liberal Jewish rhetoric that the welfare state would create a paradise of equality, both economic and racial equality. You actually believe that stuff? From 1963 to 1980, the rate of black illegitimacy nearly doubled from 23 to 48%. It did double. That's more than double. Black illegitimacy is approaching 70% today. Let me see if I can find a date for this article. February 19th, 2013. I would say that at this point in time in 2015, virtually all blacks are born out of wedlock. There is no more black family. It's gone. The welfare state has totally destroyed the black family. Whatever black family exists is supported by the welfare state. So you can see that this has been horrible for black people. And of course, black people have been trained to blame their misfortunes on whitey, on white privilege, when the reality is that their misfortunes are directly laid upon Johnson's great, or I should say not so great, society, and the communist welfare state that he created. The welfare system created and enhanced under the Great Society destroyed the family in the inner city and condemned the poor to perpetual government dependence at taxpayers' expense. Folks, that's communism. When programs were expanded to include men, this caused unemployment to rise. And with the idleness of unemployment came a rise in crime and drug use. Homicide rates climbed 122% between 1963 and 1980. Again, here you can see the actual results of the welfare state. Increase of crime, illegitimate births, destruction of the nuclear family. Again, the black community was disproportionately harmed, with the number of black men arrested between 1966 and 1970 skyrocketing. Are you ready for this? 866%. So nearly nine times as many blacks were arrested for committing crimes than before Johnson's Great Society was put into effect. I smell a Jewish agenda here. I don't smell any attempt to really make a paradise, a multiracial paradise. What I smell is a Jewish stench of disenfranchising whites and paying blacks to become criminals. The war on poverty undermined a free market that was finally beginning to assimilate blacks into successful positions in society after centuries of slavery and second-class citizenship. And sadly, the program effectively destroyed the black family faster than the most brutal slaveholder could have dreamed. Let me read this last sentence because it's absolutely true. And sadly, the program effectively destroyed the black family faster than the most brutal slaveholder could have dreamed. In fact, folks, with the Federal Reserve Bank at the helm, what we have is absolute slavery in America. Absolute economic slavery by Jewish banksters of every taxpaying citizen. The taxpayers have become the slaves of the Jewish market, not the free market. This is by no means a free market. This is a Jewish market, a Jewish Federal Reserve, fractional reserve system, capitalist market. Not free enterprise. We do not have free enterprise in America. We have Jewish capitalism. Along with the new welfare bureaucracies came new welfare bureaucrats who recruited people in the big cities for aid. Suddenly, of course, these are all liberals, and most of them actually Jews. Suddenly, it was no longer a shame to accept free money, even at taxpayers' expense. Advocating welfare rights demeaned the traditional poor family who chose to work for a living and not accept free money. The notion that welfare is a right has trapped millions in government dependency. Global plantation, anyone? Government dependency? The global plantation? Don't forget the UN. Is a part of this global plantation. Moreover, the poverty rate had been steadily declining in the 1960s until 1968, when most of the new welfare programs were fully implemented. The poverty rate has not fallen any further since. Even though the average household income has steadily risen since then, and that only due to inflation. Today, the federal government spends more money on unconstitutional entitlement programs than its constitutional obligation to national defense. The welfare programs that were expanded and created in the 1960s presumed that a husband or a father were no longer necessary components to a family. The programs also removed the incentives to either marry or get a steady job, two of the key components needed to climb out of poverty. So it's very obvious the welfare state was designed to destroy families, both black and white, but at the same time promoting equal rights among blacks so that they could feel equal to the white man and not have to work. You can see the result today of non-working blacks torching their own neighborhoods in Baltimore and Ferguson. If you don't see the direct connection between Johnson's Great Society and black civil unrest, black terrorism in America today, then you just don't have your logic circuits working. The call-in number is 951-729-8933, 951-729-8933. If you want to challenge what I'm saying or have a question or comment, feel free to call in. I've got the Blog Talk Radio page, call-in page, working. The welfare programs that were expanded and created in the 1960s presumed that a husband or father were no longer necessary components to a family. Not only were they attacking the nuclear family, they, you know, the same thing, the homosexual movement began during this time. The feminist movement began during this time. And of course, the anti-war movement was operating in this time, thanks to Johnson, because he was the one who escalated the war. So it was Johnson who was the facilitator of not only the war, but of also the great changes, the Pandora's box of social changes that occurred during the 1960s. I hope you're beginning to realize what a Satanist Lying Butcher Johnson really was. Education is the next heading. Several measures were enacted to improve public indoctrination as part of the Great Society. The Head Start program offered meals and other services to preschool children. Job Corps was created to teach job skills to high school dropouts. VISTA, Volunteers in Service to America, was a domestic peace corps for poor areas. And billions of dollars were spent to improve inner city schools, provide scholarships, and force public schools to use native languages with non-English speaking students. I think you all know how well these programs didn't work. In spite of all these programs, education has not improved in America. I'd say, well, education in America and our international standing as a illiterate and math and science country has been steadily declining ever since the 1960s, without fail, steadily declining. Why? Because they've been teaching liberalism, socialism, feminism, and communism instead of the three R's. The three R's they are teaching are the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, and the rabbis. A 1977 study revealed that schools gained no advantage by taking taxpayer funding. The requirement to teach students in their native languages has reinforced the reluctance of Latino immigrants to learn English, thereby harming their chances to become successful members of society. Has also harmed the ability of blacks to get jobs. Moreover, welfare programs that encouraged people not to work also encouraged them not to seek an education. This has led to a decline in literacy in America and has prevented many from acquiring the basic skills needed to find meaningful and long-term employment. Well, could that be the reason why blacks in black communities not only can't get a job, but don't have the skills to start their own businesses? They can't even read and write, let alone count. Next heading is healthcare. Part of Johnson's Great Society agenda included creating Medicare and Medicaid. Medicare sought to offer affordable hospital care, nursing home care, home nursing services, outpatient diagnostic services, and low-cost insurance to all Americans upon reaching 65. In the first 3 years of the program, nearly 20 million beneficiaries enrolled, many of whom did not actually need the benefits but simply took them because they were free. This is how socialism works, folks. If you can take advantage of government programs, if you will. If you can, you will. Regarding Medicaid, many had clamored for a government system to provide health care to poor people, But the argument that the poor could not otherwise get adequate health care was false. Studies reveal that there was no tangible disparity between the number of doctor visits by affluent people and poor people. And Medicaid caused a dramatic decline in the services that doctors had previously offered to the poor for free or reduced costs. Again, I'm telling you, the welfare state was created and designed by Jews to destroy America. The rise of health care demand created by Medicare and Medicaid without increasing supply, for example, more doctors and nurses, has led to great rises in overall prices. Government involvement in health care has also led to the growth of third-party payers. This has undermined the natural market mechanisms that would inevitably have lowered costs through competition, encouraged more people to pursue careers in health care, and even increased the quality and consumption of medical services. And federal intrusion into the healthcare industry is a blatantly unconstitutional disregard for the rights of states to administer their own healthcare programs for their citizens. It's also communism. Immigration. The Immigration and Nationality Act abolished the immigration quota system established by the Immigration Acts of 1924, 1929, and 1952. Under this new measure, 290,000 immigrants were allowed in the U.S. each year, 170,000 from Eastern Hemisphere nations and 120,000 from Western Hemisphere nations. No more than 20,000 from any one nation could emigrate per year. No limits were placed on family reunification visas, or anchor babies, as they're called. So in other words, if illegal Mexican man and woman, forget about husband and wife, man and woman, conceived a child while they were in American soil, their child would be considered then henceforth an American citizen. This is totally unconstitutional. But of course, Jacob Javits and the ADL and AIPAC and all these other Jewish agencies who have been pushing for the disenfranchisement of the white race are the ones behind all of this anti-white, pro-non-white legislation. Dramatically reshaped society by shifting immigration sources from industrialized Europe to Asia and impoverished Latin America. Now, why was Latin America impoverished in the first place? Well, it's because Latin America was a Catholic narco state. You see, wherever the Catholic Church has ruled, you have immense poverty. Immense poverty. And you have dictatorial families, many of whom are actually drug lords, that the Catholic Church simply ignores or even works with. So the Catholic Church in Latin America has always facilitated a dictatorial style of government, resulting in the oppression of the native people, using pro-Catholic, pro-Jesuit, very often pro-communist drug lords to rule over the people. So as a result of this involvement in Latin America, more unskilled laborers than ever before have emigrated to the U.S. over the past 50 years. In addition, the emphasis on family reunification led to unlimited chain immigration. This was a corrective measure designed to atone for past immigration discrimination. Now, wait a minute. All of this is unconstitutional. Of course, the so-called corrections are made by Jews, liberals, and communists. And it turned immigration into a civil rights cause. But like most measures enacted to correct past mistakes, it only made the problem worse. The act was strongly supported by Senator Ted Kennedy of Massachusetts. Of course, as I said earlier, he was very much aware of who murdered his two brothers. So he wasn't about to let himself be assassinated by opposing the Jews. Senator Ted Kennedy of Massachusetts, who stated that, quote, our cities will not be flooded with 1 million immigrants annually. The present level of immigration remains substantially the same, unquote. Damn, what a liar. What a liar. Well, of course, he was thinking of his personal health. However, Kennedy's prediction has become about 800,000 illegal immigrants flooding into the U.S. annually. Opening of the floodgates, Revelation chapter 12, the dragon will let out a flood out of his mouth, and it's a flood of immigrants, into Israel, into the Israelite nations, which are the Caucasian nations, not Jewish. This opening of the floodgates has devalued U.S. jobs and citizenship to a drastic degree. Amen. Well said. Civil rights. In accordance with Johnson's Great Society, the Civil Rights and Voting Rights Act, the Voting Riots Act, provided government enforcement of the 14th and 15th Amendments of the Constitution. Ironically, a larger percentage of Republicans and Democrats supported these measures in Congress. Well, because the Republican Party was already being co-opted and sabotaged by the Jews. The Democratic Party has been a Jewish communist party since 1913. Economists have pointed out that the Civil Rights Act did not improve black employment opportunities. In the decade before this act's passage, blacks had more than doubled their representation in professional, technical, and high-level positions. Gains after the act was passed were smaller than gains made before the act's passage. These laws also led to creating affirmative action programs, award jobs, and educational opportunities to people on the basis of their skin color and not their merit. This is completely opposite to the ideals espoused by Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. and, of course, all liberals, of course, all of them being hypocrites, who dreamed that one day Americans would be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. You remember that part of his speech? Content of their character? What's the content of the character of the black thugs in Ferguson and Baltimore who are smashing store windows and attacking people and attacking white people in the knockout game and using their riot games? In attacking stores, looting them, and attacking individuals. Flash mobs. Is this what we must consider to be equality? Is this fairness? Is this a peaceful society? Civil rights, in accordance with Johnson's Great Society, the Civil Rights and Voting Rights Act provided government enforcement to the 14th and 15th Amendments. And, of course, the 14th Amendment was only related to Washington, D.C., but the Great Society extended it to the entire nation. Folks, this is sabotage. This is total destruction of America. And who says that white people should integrate? Where does that come from? Where's the law that says we must integrate? Where has racial integration ever produced a peaceful or better society? It has never produced a peaceful or better society. It has always resulted in the destruction of white society. Within a year after passing the Voting Rights Act, black voter registration leaped 28%, and black majorities in many districts soon began sending representatives to Congress. These laws did much to end the era of slavery and segregation in America. Really? With the Federal Reserve Bank increasing slavery, economic slavery? Slavery ended 150 years before this. course, this article is written by a racial integrationist who actually thinks it's good. But what he's doing is he's accurately representing the fact that Johnson's Great Society and the racial integration that ensued are a miserable failure, an absolute miserable failure. While this law was one of the few Great Society successes, okay, so what's the result of this increased black votership? They voted themselves more welfare benefits. That's not a success, folks. That's communism. Destructive results. The Great Society created a generation of Americans that has considered it their right to take government handouts at their fellow citizens' expense. Amen. That's communism. In the 45 years since its start, the Great Society has led to a stagnating poverty rate, a rise in crime and drug usage, a rise in illegitimate births, a rise in illegal immigration, a decline in traditional marriage, and a decline in quality education. How about a decline in the pursuit of happiness? How about a decline in taxpayer rights? Taxation without representation? That's what it led to. Taxation without representation. White people get taxed to benefit blacks and others. That's total misrepresentation. Some have argued that the programs have not worked properly because they have not been funded enough. No. The more money they get, the worse they are. But they have already cost trillions of dollars with few positive results to show from them. Regardless of Lyndon Johnson's motivations, which are totally Jewish, Zionist, and communist, for unleashing such a harmful domestic initiative, there is no doubt that the Great Society has delivered nothing but a welfare state and a weakened, indebted nation. Hello? That's the purpose of Johnson's welfare state. That's what it was designed to do. Therefore, it is in fact a great success. Now, another result of Johnson's Great Society and this Jew communist bankster program, the welfare state, is an increase in crime, especially an increase in black crime. From an article entitled "Crime Stats Alarm Black Leaders," and they should be alarmed because crime in black neighborhoods affects blacks who aren't criminals. There are blacks who are trying to make a decent living, but they can't do so when their teenage boys turn into gangbangers and thugs and murderers and thieves. January 26, 2014, shocking new study on youth arrests lays bare facts about crime and race in America by Victor Thorne. The implications are shocking. Nearly 50% of all black males and 38% of white men will be arrested by the age of 23. These statistics, compiled by four college professors between the years 1997 and 2008, were published in the January 6 edition of the journal Crime and Delinquency. The biggest question one takes away from this study is what types of crimes are these young adults committing? Not surprisingly, there exists a great deal of variance depending on the perpetrator's race. A 2012 study by the Department of Justice's Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention revealed that in 2010, black youths committed 6 times more murders, 3 times more rapes, 10 times more robberies, and 3 times more assaults than did their white counterparts. This in spite of the fact that virtually all of these black youths receive some sort of welfare. Or should I say, because of the fact that they and their families receive welfare. Which means, the old saying is, idleness is the beginning of all vice. The welfare state has created an idle generation who are fed, housed, clothed, and medicated by the taxpayer, and therefore have all and miseducated by taxpayer money, and therefore have all kinds of free time with which to commit crime, which of course includes rape and murder. So all that the welfare state has accomplished is to increase the crime rate. Let me repeat this last sentence. This study shows that in 2010, black youths committed 6 times more murders, 3 times more rapes, 10 times more robberies, and 3 times more assaults than did their white counterparts. How do you think this program of racial integration is working? Is it working well? Blacks up to the level of whites in terms of income, productivity, taxpayer input and output? Has it created a racial paradise, a multiracial paradise? Has it accomplished anything that the liberals claimed it would? Of course not. Similar statistics were released by the Federal Bureau of Investigation in the Uniform Crime Reports. They determined, quote, in the year 2008, black youths, who make up 16% of the youth population, accounted for 52% of juvenile violent crime arrests. That's because they were guilty of committing those crimes, not because of racial profiling, including 58% for homicide, and 67% for robbery. Now, I have to stress here that in addition, these statistics are skewed against whites because the FBI includes Hispanics as white. So, in other words, they count Hispanic crime as white crime, and that's false. So the white crime rate is actually much, much lower than what is being stated here. By contrast, the only categories where white youth surpassed blacks were in liquor law violations and driving under the influence. Even black civil rights advocates such as Van Jones, President Barack Obama's former green jobs czar, confirmed these findings. In his October 5, 2005 article, Are Blacks a Criminal Race?, Jones wrote, quote, African-American youth represent 32% of all weapons arrests and were arrested for aggravated assault at a rate nearly 3 times that of whites. So finally, there's some racial honesty here. First of all, the idea that whites must integrate themselves with other races is pure liberal Jewish nonsense. Everything that's happened since the Great Society has proven that it's an abysmal failure. You cannot force two races to live together. And that's what the welfare state is. It's an attempt to force two different races, two different cultures, to live together as if they were the same. They're not the same. Blacks have their culture, whites have their culture, and never the twain shall meet, unless you consider gangsta rap a white form of culture, unless you consider rape, robbery, and murder culture for whites. I don't think so, folks. I think that this racial integration program is a miserable, devastating failure, and white people are its primary victims because most of this crime is committed against whites. It's almost never the other way around. Black-on-white crime has escalated 1,000-fold since the 1950s in this vain and stupid attempt to integrate the races. To better comprehend this trend, the January 10th American Free Press spoke with veteran journalist and author Alan Karuba. When questioned about the proliferation of black crime, Karuba explained the black community is afflicted with all kinds of problems based on a long history of failing to integrate fully into the overall community. Well, weren't they supposed to integrate into the community? Wasn't the point of this to show that integration would make our society better? Wasn't that what this is all about? It's not working, folks. The whole thing is a Jewish lie. Pointing to current events, Karuba explained, quote, "The knockout game is a good example of what's wrong today. It goes straight to the heart of how blacks are raised. It's a disturbing trend that all of us need to pay more attention to." Yes, and it needs to be prosecuted. But that would, of course, raise the black crime rate even higher. The so-called knockout game was made popular largely by gangs of teenage blacks who select a random person and try to knock them unconscious with one punch to the head or face. Don't forget the black flash mobs. Although few publications other than AFP have the courage to buck political correctness and address the actualities of this social cancer in a forthright manner, in a 2011 speech, Philadelphia's black mayor Michael Nutter, N-U-T-T-E-R, offered the following admonishment to black youth. Quote, "You have damaged your own race," he said. "Take those damned hoodies down, pull your pants up, and buy a belt because no one wants to see your underwear or the crack of your butt," unquote. How many black leaders are actually speaking in this forthright manner? Certainly Jesse Jerkson and Al Sharptongue aren't telling the truth about racial crime and its true cause. Those two jerks are still blaming whitey, making racial chaos even worse. Summarizing this entire matter was former federal prosecutor Andrew C. McCarthy, who on September 30, 2005 declared, quote, "Some identifiable groups commit crime at a rate that is higher than the national rate. Blacks are such a group. That is simply a fact," unquote. Ladies and gentlemen, the attempt to make America a racially integrated society has failed miserably. In fact, the welfare state was never designed to succeed. The welfare state was created by Jews who hate whites and who hate Christianity and are simply using blacks to start a race war against us. Just as the Jews did in South Africa, using the ANC, the African National Communists, to make war against the white race in South Africa. And we now have our version of Nelson Mandela, namely Barack Obama, another communist, another black communist, doing the bidding of the Jews to destroy the white race. Unless and until you awaken to the fact that organized Jewry is starting a race war and has implemented this race war against the white race since the 1960s, you have no comprehension of what's going on in America or in the world. It's time for you to wake up. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. I sure do hope you wake up because the race war is right around the corner. If you're white, arm yourself, prepare to defend yourself against Jewish thugs the Jewish thugs of Jade Helm, Homeland Sabotage, and of course the black thugs in the inner city, who all have weapons, while at the same time Jews and blacks like Barack Obama try to disarm white people. I hope you're beginning to wake up to what's really going on and the anti-white agenda of organized Jewry and all their puppets, such as liberals, Judeo-Christians, and all of these socialists and other people who are actually working for Jews to destroy the white race. Wake up, folks. It's time to wake up. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition. See you next time.